You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Most of the local elected officials in South Texas are Democrats. That's long been a Democratic area of the state. I got to tell you, every elected Democrat I met with was so horrified by what's happening at the border. They said to me over and over again, they said, listen, if the Democratic Party is the party of open borders, count me out. I can't support this.
Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, September 23rd, 2021. Senator Cruz just finished a tour of various border communities, and as he pointed out, many of the elected officials, that would include the sheriffs, the various county executives, city executives throughout the border areas, are Democrat. It's a stronghold for Democrats. They are different than the Democrats in Washington by far, generally. And they're certainly different than what we're seeing now from the Biden-Harris Democrat approach and far, far from the AOC squad Democrats. But they still have a D after their name. But what they're saying and acknowledging, if the Democrat Party now stands for open borders, count me out. And they say that because of two things. One, yes, the Democrats did make those statements when they were running for office at the White House. Every single candidate appearing at a primary debate asked, do you support dropping the borders? It should not be a crime to come across our border. They all said, oh, yeah, no crime, no foul, no harm, nothing. We welcome all immigrants. We do welcome immigrants. The nation's built on immigration. But we welcome them legally. What's happening at the border right now is not, has not been legal by a stretch, a very big stretch. The other point facing these Democrats that are in control of border cities and counties on the border of Texas is the fact that they live there. They're seeing the damage being caused. Those who are up in D.C. and Chicago and New York City, they don't see. They're not living in. And even in California, they're not really living in the midst of it. Oh, no, no, no. They're behind their moats and the gates are raised where the illegals cannot get inside. We're going to get into that in more detail because some of those Democrats already switched parties. In the meantime, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, says what is happening at the border is worse than slavery. Worse than slavery? Well, you know what? In a way, she's correct. In another way, she's not. We'll explain. And Afghanistan. Biden is glad to have you focus on the southern border and anything else. Don't go back and talk about Afghanistan. He hasn't. Hasn't for days. Out of sight, out of mind, which might not be so hard for Biden at this point. But we're going to go back into that issue and the issue that still exists. How many Americans are there? We don't know because they're still not able to tell us. And this recent indictment of the Hillary Clinton lawyer, Sussman, you know what happens when you walk into a kitchen and you turn on the lights? Cockroaches run. If you got them in your house, they're going to be in the kitchen. You turn on the light, they scatter. This is what we're going to see happen as we get more information regarding this indictment because the dam that's been blocking Hillary Clinton's involvement in the Trump-alleged Russian collusion is breaking. Hans von Spakovsky, Heritage Foundation, expert on federal elections, testifying before the Congress yesterday. He's joining us today to tell us what he said and did he have any impact upon the members of the Senate as they heard him in this subcommittee. That'll be coming up later. Vaccines. More and more folks are raising questions about vaccines. And remember Nicki Minaj, the rapper? Maybe you're not a big fan of rap or even Nicki Minaj, but she had a question about the vaccine and immediately she got slammed. even by Joy Reid of MSNBC. And Nikki said, what's wrong? You can't ask a question? This cancel culture is out of control. You know who else is joining her now on cancel culture is wrong? Johnny Depp and many other actors and actresses are recognizing when it turns and bites me, it's wrong. If it bites you, they don't really care. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Call your friends and family and say, we're on the air right now. You don't want to miss the next 2 hours. Because we've got so much material. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This indictment really filled in a lot of blanks. What we've learned in this indictment is that the Clinton people were told that this was falling apart, that there was virtually nothing here to establish this bizarre claim of a communications channel through this bank to the Kremlin. And one of their researchers said, I'm not sure you want to get this out in public because they'll learn all of the tricks in our bag, which was a really telling statement.
Yeah, that's very damning statement. Not just telling, a damning statement. Those are the words of law professor Jonathan Turley. He's appearing on Fox News. He is a Fox News contributor, so I always want to make sure you understand where everyone's coming from. I don't try to hide any of the facts or information or background from you. So you could say, well, he's already kind of bent that way, that he's going to support anything that's damning to the Democrats and Clinton. What he's speaking about is this most recent indictment, the indictment, that has come out of the John Durham investigation into what was taking place regarding the original Russian Gate investigation. The allegations, of course, that Donald Trump was involved in communicating with the Russians. In fact, according to what they were trying to spread, the story they were trying to spread at that time was that they had found evidence that Donald Trump, through a Trump Organization server and the Kremlin-linked Alpha Bank, were using a back channel for secret communications. At least that was the story. And the guy presenting that information to the FBI was Michael Sussman, the one now indicted for lying to the FBI about a Donald Trump Russian link in 2016. See, Sussman went to the FBI and said, I got this information. And so he starts telling them how Donald Trump is using a Trump Organization computer and server and talking direct to Moscow using a connection at a bank in the Kremlin. It's a secret communications. We're in the process of telling the FBI all this information. He was asked a question. Are you working for any client? He's a lawyer. Are you working for any client? His answer was, no, no, not. Bingo, wrong answer. Perjury card in play now. A 27-page indictment charging that he lied to them and also offers an expansive window into how the Russian gate scam began and how Democrat operatives, intel officials, and establishment media figures continued to feed it to the public. He was working for a client. He was with that law firm. You've heard their name thrown around quite a bit, haven't you? Perkins and Cole. He was working with that law firm at the time. And that law firm was working with the Hillary Clinton campaign. And once the story was presented to the FBI, what they had, well, yeah, they had to start an investigation, start looking into it. And, of course, then you had a lot of the media more than willing to jump in because nobody liked Trump except you dumb, ignorant Trump hick supporters. You were being fooled, bamboozled because you're just a hick anyway. You're a redneck from Texas, oil field trash, whatever else. You didn't know anything. We know better. And so they were quick to put the story out and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and never raise questions. And even when some of it began to come unraveled. Not all reporters did that, and not all news agencies jumped in on it that way, but generally they did. They were just taking it as a fact. From the indictment, just from the indictment that has come out against Sussman, the publication Slate put out a story which was first sent to the research firm that spearheaded the infamous Christopher Steele dossier before publication and was peddled by the Clinton campaign as a possible smoking gun of the Trump-Russian collusion. Initially planted by a Clinton campaign lawyer, Sussman, Michael Sussman. Because according to the FBI, according to the indictment, that is, the FBI later found the server in question, it didn't even belong to the Trump Organization. It was administered by a mass marketing email company. The Durham probe, of course, is part of the whole issue of, were we going to turn up anything? But it's not just going after Clinton and Hillary and the rest of them, the FBI and all the others involved. It basically exposed the media. Here's how it was written up by the Federalist Molly Hemingway. She said the corrupt media's regurgitation of outlandish and substantiated claims that Donald Trump was planning to steal or had stolen the 2016 election by colluding with Russia discredits the entire industry. She's talking about the news agencies, the news business, journalists. She goes on to say, they gave themselves awards and promotions and acclaim for amplifying lies, secretly financed by the Clinton campaign, weaponized by politicized government bureaucrats. All of this further discredits them. She's absolutely right. Slate had reported on the allegations October 31, 2016. Had a lengthy article by author Franklin Foyer headlined, was a Trump server communicating with Russia. It reached no conclusion, but the Clinton campaign seized on that report as a smoking gun of supposed collusion with Russia, the election just 2 weeks away. So you had Sussman, a lawyer with the Perkins Co., which was representing the Clinton campaign, that had hired Fusion GPS, which in turn hired Christopher Steele. That led to the infamous Steele dossier, which Slate was beginning to allude to in its report. I know it's hard to follow. Yeah, I mean, you do need a player's chart and everything else. But the bottom line is it all went back to the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they were not claiming any connection with it. They were saying, no connection. That was the testimony of Sussman. Well, obviously there was. And it wasn't just them and Sussman. Clinton's campaign advisor, policy advisor, Jake Sullivan, said that communication between Trump and Moscow, that is clearly a secret hotline that was perhaps the key to unlocking the mystery of Trump's ties to Russia. That was his take. Jonathan Turley, speaking on Fox News, said, no, what I see here is it proves more of Hillary's collusion.
It's pretty darn shocking. When you look at the dates laid out by John Durham, you have all these people warning, we don't really have any support for this. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, look, we just need enough for a good narrative. They get it to the FBI. They get it through an accommodating reporter to publish it. And then right out of the gates, Hillary Clinton herself says, well, they just found this connection. And then Jake Sullivan said, yeah, this is pretty strong stuff.
Pretty strong stuff. Jake Sullivan, the guy I just identified for you as Clinton's campaign policy advisor. You know what he does now? Jake Sullivan is the U.S. national security advisor for President Biden. The same guy that said, I know intel when I see it. And yeah, this proves there's a secret hotline going on. This is the key to unlocking the mystery of Trump tied to Russia. He is now serving as Joe Biden's national security advisor. That should make us all feel very safe, shouldn't it? Well, they quickly ramped up and started the story, just came out, and they kept peddling it over and over and over. They didn't need anything else. In fact, an Atlantic writer, Natasha Bertrand, declared, and I'm quoting, "What more evidence do you need?" It's just that simple. You don't need any evidence. We don't need a jury. We don't need you only need an impeachment. I mean, Trump should be shot. Treason. In 2018, with the Russian investigation at full tilt, the New Yorker again started looking at the allegations surrounding the server and the Alpha Bank. Then there was a follow-up for the Atlantic defending. Foyer defended his own piece from 2016 that attracted some new attention, that maybe there were some questions that didn't really match up. And that's when the Atlantic writer Natasha Bertrand said, what more evidence do you need? It's right here in front of us. She is, of course, now at CNN. Washington Post even criticized her hire, said, look how she was involved in the Steele dossier. Another reporter has watched all this, but both you had Hillary and Jake Sullivan pretending they had just learned about this shocking story from the publication Slate, when in fact, Hillary's lawyers and researchers had spent weeks pushing the story, going to the FBI, spreading the story from the beginning. So what's going on here? Well, Tulsi Gabbard, who was a candidate for the White House, Democrat presidential candidate, former Hawaii congresswoman, said what you had in play here was, again, the effort of Hillary and her like to take control of the nation. They thought they could say anything they wanted. They could get away with it. It is all about, in the words of Tulsi Gabbard, control you because they are better than you.
We have a situation in our country where the powerful elite, people like Hillary Clinton and those around her, the deep state, the media, they're all colluding to destroy outsiders who they deem as posing a threat to their power. So essentially what they do is they create this dictatorship where those who are outsiders, those who put country first, those who are not afraid to challenge the establishment and those who don't toe the line, they do all they can to silence and censor and eliminate these outsiders that they deem pose a threat to their power.
She's exactly right. And Hillary Clinton and those around her, that's exactly what they were doing. They were colluding to destroy anyone that might be a threat to their power. And Trump had absolutely upset the old apple cart. Remember, Hillary, this was supposed to be a walk-in election for her. Well, it's actually supposed to be a walk-in election for her before this, because when she originally ran for the White House, she's going to be just coronated, not even elected, coronated, until this young black senator from Illinois showed up and Barack Obama won. And she'd been ticked ever since. So he got his 8 years. She still wanted her 8 years. And they were more than willing to take part in this. And there's more to tell you about that when we continue. I'm honored to have First Crypto World in St. Charles on board as a sponsor. This is the first brick and mortar store where you can actually learn about cryptocurrencies. And what do you know about crypto mining? I'm confused. That's why I'm going to sign up for an education class. And you can buy crypto merchandise. FirstCryptoWorld.com. Get full details. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is much bigger than any individual. It's actually a threat to our democracy and to the American people, and their arrogance in believing that they have the right to do this and doing so without any regard for who gets hurt in the process or how it actually undermines our country, our democracy, and damages and hurts the interests of the American people.
The words again of Tulsi Gabbard, former Hawaii congresswoman, former Democrat presidential candidate. She's talking about Hillary Clinton and those around her, the deep state, all colluding to destroy anyone that's a threat to their power. This is Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, she's just sour grapes because she didn't win the election. You can say that, but from sour grapes sometimes comes some good stuff, and in this case, it's pretty good. And she says this is the arrogance of these people. Well, we have the cancel culture and the others all talking about white privilege, male privilege. How about Hillary Clinton and company privilege? Though they exercise it on a constant basis. In fact, there's a piece written in The Federalist today by Eric Felton on collusion. He said, not just anyone can call the FBI general counsel with claims of conspiratorial criminality by a presidential candidate and get a private sit down. And yet that's what happened. Yeah, that's it, because they had a way to get to the FBI through Sussman and others. He says the indictment of Washington attorney Michael Sussman, accused of lying to the FBI in order to smear Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign, reveals the ace up the sleeve of high-powered Democrats. It's a card they played time and time again to advance the Trump-Russia conspiracy theory to friends in high places. They used friends in law enforcement to launch secret investigations. They used friends in the federal government to broaden those investigations. They used friends in the media to spread the word about Trump and his organization being under investigation. You don't have to have any evidence. You just say, hey, you know, the FBI is doing it, and that's enough. Reporters jump on it and go after it. any reporter would, but then you think they would look for facts and not just continue to take whatever spin was being put in front of them. One of the groups that jumped in on the story was the publication, the left-wing publication, Mother Jones. David Korn is a Washington bureau chief of the Mother Jones. And he also kind of got pulled into this. David Korn, according to reports that were unveiled in testimony, had what was referred to as a Steele dossier. And how did he get that, you want to know? Oh, I hear you. How did he get it? And then how did he get to the hands of the FBI? I mean, how did a Mother Jones reporter columnist get chosen to drop a dime on Trump with the FBI? That's the question raised by the writer for The Federalist. And the answer, David Korn's a friend of mine. Longtime friend. When did you first meet Mr. Korn? Years and years and years ago. Our kids carpooled together. We carpooled with him when our kids were little. And from that relationship, information went to Mother Jones, and there was another publication, another media jump, breaking stories and pieces of information about the Russian collusion involving Donald Trump. We now know there was never any such collusion. There never was any link between the Trump Tower or a computer to any Moscow computer. None of it. And they knew it, too. They knew it was a damn lie, but they didn't care. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Biden is quoted in this new Woodward book, stuff he says about Trump. Not surprising, but I think you will be very interested in what he had to say about Trump. And also, we'll be joined by Hans von Spakovsky in the next segment. He just testified before Congress.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest, you've heard numerous times before, not only on this program, but on every major news and our talk program. He's an expert, especially when it comes to election laws. Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. Hans, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Larry, thanks for inviting me back.
Well, I wanted to do it yesterday, but I knew you were tied up doing a Senate subcommittee hearing on election reform, supposedly. And, I mean, I knew you were doing it, but, I mean, supposedly they're actually looking at election reform. That's what they want to call it. Well, first of all, this is obviously not the first time you sat down in front of Congress and had such a testimony in front of them.
No, it's not. Frankly, I would have rather been doing your show than sitting there having to listen to some of the senators and other folks. Yeah, look, this hearing was supposedly to hear testimony about H.R. 4. H.R. 4 is the latest bill Democrats have come up with. In essence, it would require every state in the country, every county governor of the country, if they make changes in their voting laws. For example, they put in a voter ID law. They
federalize all elections.
Yeah, yeah. And it would give veto authority to bureaucrats inside the Justice Department. You know, if Missouri passed a law changing how it maintains the accuracy of its voter roll, that law would not be effective, despite the legislature passing it and the governor signing it, until and unless they submitted it to the U.S. Department of Justice, and the justice said it was okay. Larry, that's obviously, as you know, a real violation of the Constitution, of state sovereignty, because, you know, state governments aren't just subsidiaries of the federal government. But anyway, listen, the three witnesses that the Democrats brought in, it's like they live in a fantasy land. I mean, so they were.
Four of you testifying, isn't that correct?
No, well, there are five of us.
Five, but three of them were Democrats that were brought in to push this HR bill, right?
Exactly, and like I said, they're in a fantasy land. They were sitting there saying that there's this wave of voter support going on across the country. That Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans are being cut out of the polls. They're not being allowed to vote. And they kept making these claims despite the fact that, for example, what I testified about was, look, in last year's election, 2020, the Census Bureau, you know, put out a report recently. We had the highest presidential turnout in a presidential election last year. The last time it was this high was in 1992.
Mm.
So the turnout data shows that all these claims about voter suppression they're making are just an outright lie.
Well, and so did they have any figures to counter what you just said? Did they show figures?
No.
Of course not.
No.
Of course.
No,
did they get pressed on? Did they get pressed on that? Did they demand? Tell us. Give us examples.
Well, you know, the Republicans tried that, but they just all they have is anecdotes. They don't have any actual data.
Sure.
They don't have turnout data.
Sure.
Or like, I'll give you another quick example of what I testified about yesterday. I said, look, nobody thinks that during the Obama administration, 8 years, that the people running the Justice Department would have been shy about filing a lawsuit, right, if they thought there was discrimination going on in the voter context. In the entire 8 years, 8 years of the Obama administration, they only filed a grand total of four lawsuits claiming racial discrimination in the voting context. Four in this entire huge country.
I want to put something in front of you, because based on that,
sure.
I'm looking at a piece that was written by Jason Snead, an opinion piece he did for Fox News. He's president of a group called Honest Elections. He said, "What if you really want to be honest about this H.R. 4, you need to call this the Nancy Pelosi power grab bill." And what you're saying here, again, is that it's just an effort to get control of all elections going forward.
Yes.
While the Democrats have control of both houses and the White House, and they're all going to be buddy-buddy, and they're going to make it happen. Or are they?
Well, this bill's already passed the U.S. House. They introduced it like the second week of August and literally passed it 1 week later. So it's now in the Senate. As long as the Republicans filibuster the bill and the filibuster rule stays in place, I think they'll be able to stop it. But if the Democrats change the rules, get rid of the filibuster, well, then, unfortunately, it may pass.
If it does in that sense, many have said, I'd like your thought on it, many have said you will never see a conservative elected ever again.
I think it will make it extremely difficult for conservatives to get to win elections, because what they're going to do with this law is get rid of all of the safety and security protocols that are out there that try to protect the integrity of the election. You know, they'll void voter ID laws. They'll void the efforts of states to try to clean up their voter rolls. All that will be almost impossible for states to do. And the more you do that, the easier it is to cheat in an election.
Let me put this in front of you. Before you joined us in our first segment today, we were using some quotes and some remarks made by Tulsi Gabbard, former Hawaii Congresswoman, Democrat presidential candidate. And she said, we have a situation in this country where the powerful elite, people like Hillary Clinton and those around her, the deep state, the media, they all collude to destroy the outsiders they deem as a threat. And she goes on to say they do all they can to silence, censor, eliminate those outsiders that are a threat. And it is a direct threat to our democracy and the American people. And they have an arrogance about it, believing it's the right thing to do.
Oh, I agree with her. I think she's absolutely right about that. And Look, we had an example of that yesterday at my hearing. One of the senators who came in was Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, you know, of Connecticut. And, you know, he a couple of years ago actually wrote an op-ed in which he said that anyone who questions global warming, they should not be published by any newspaper or other media source in America. They should be silenced. And you know who was one of the people he named in his op-ed who should not be allowed to publish?
Yeah, I wonder.
Me.
Yeah. I was waiting for that kick.
Well, he couldn't silence me yesterday at the hearing, so I'm sure he was upset about that.
So you had your say, but in the end, any impact?
No, because what people need to understand is that these kinds of hearings, like the one yesterday, they are not actually an honest attempt to get information and facts. They are show trials.
Yeah.
They are show hearings. You know, the folks that Democrat senators, for example, invite are simply there to provide them with the propaganda they want to support the bill they've already decided to support. It's not really an information gathering session.
Well, everybody up there, and of course it's a subcommittee, so you got representatives from both sides, and then they're going to take this, say, look what we did in our subcommittee, pass it on to a bigger committee, and we had Hans von Spakovsky, a heritage expert. Of course, don't bother reading or seeing his testimony. Just know that we had an expert then there, and we need to move forward with this bill. I can see them laying that out already. You might be their main attraction in the main tent. You know that?
Yeah, that could be. But like I said, it was just amazing watching the Democratic witnesses with just some of the totally false claims they made. Again, let me give you just a quick example. There was this professor there from California who clearly doesn't know anything about voting, who kept saying that the Texas voter ID law is racially discriminatory. Okay, well, there's a big problem with that. The Texas law today is in place because a federal court found it was not racially discriminatory. Not only that, but you know who filed there was a lawsuit over. You know who filed a brief in the federal court and who agreed that the current Texas law is not discriminatory? The Obama Justice Department.
Whoa, I had forgotten about that. Now that you mentioned, I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet this professor is saying, oh, it's discriminatory. And who does CNN interview after the thing? Her.
Uh-huh.
When she knows she clearly doesn't know what she's talking about, and she's telling outright lies.
And so it just gets replicated and pushed over and over again. Just like we're talking about also earlier about how the Russian collusion story kind of took hold, and that's why Sussman got caught in perjury saying, I don't work for anybody, when he's already working for the Clinton campaign. Nobody bothers to ask, and what's your connection? What did you do? Who are you connected? They just kind of, you tell it once. I've compared it, Hans, when I'm teaching young students, take a pillowcase of 100 feathers out here, throw it up in the air, come back tomorrow, see if you can find all of them. You won't. So a lot of the lies are never tracked down and explained.
No, that's exactly right.
Hans, as always, we appreciate it. I've seen the video. I haven't had a chance to hear all of it, but I'm going to go back and look at it because I know you gave them what for, and you made an effort anyway, and we appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot, and it's great being on the show again.
As always, here instead of a subcommittee hearing. Thanks, Hans von Spakovsky for the Heritage Foundation. That's funny, and yet it's not, right? Unbelievable. When we continue, there's something in this new Woodward book called Peril about Joe Biden he really might not like.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So everybody's so excited about this Woodward book about President Trump and the stories behind Trump. Bob Woodward, writing a book called Peril, along with his co-author, Robert Costa. And, of course, the whole point of the book is to demonize Trump. And he's getting a lot of play. All the late-night talk show hosts, we had a clip of one last night, or yesterday, CBS late host Colbert, letting Woodward just go on and on and on how, you know, this whole thing that in the closing days of General Milley stepping up, saying, I need to call China and tell them we're going to be okay here. And then later, according to the book, called, although Milley has not admitted this, keep this in mind, General Milley has just said only one thing to an AP reporter was, I was doing my duty, I was making routine calls. But one of the calls supposedly was after the January 6th event where he calls them and, or either in that conversation or the first one said, if Trump decides to launch a missile, I will call and let you know in advance. That would be treason. That would be going behind the back of the commander-in-chief and also notifying an enemy that we're going to do something. And on top of that, if he just thinks that Trump might, he makes that call, then China may decide to launch first. All that aside, the mass state-controlled media is loving it. They cannot wait to get their hands on the full book. I'm telling you, we might have already heard and seen some of the best of it. But there are some remarks in there also about Joe Biden. And as explained in the book, Biden, before he ran for president, had criticized Trump severely and then was frustrated by him. Biden spoke to his team about running for president in 2020, and he cited the main reason I'll run, if I run, will be because of Donald Trump. He said, this guy just isn't really an American president. This is all before the election, before Biden decided to get in the ring. That's not a big deal, just saying, but what are you saying, he's not really an American? And again, that comment apparently recalled by Biden's political advisor at the time, Ron Klain. He said Biden was deeply unsettled by the Trump's presidency, especially after the comments from the riots in Charlottesville. The comments that are always misquoted, not in context, but nobody bothers to check the facts anymore. Remember when Trump said there are good people on both sides? He wasn't saying that the Proud Boys and the Klan that showed up were good people, nor was he saying Antifa and those agitators showing up were good people. But he's talking about the common citizens who were there and they had a strong feeling about Confederate statues. Either they should come down or they should not. And then the whole event got hijacked as they started squaring off between the two groups. After Biden, the book goes on to talk about after Biden was inaugurated as president, he walked into one of the rooms at the White House where Trump had set up a large video screen apparently to practice golf. That's what they said it was there for. I don't know. That's what he's claiming. And Biden's remark, what an effing asshole. What an effing ass, you know, ass rabbit hole, something like that. The Biden team also hated using Trump's name at any point in front of him. They even sent words to each other, don't mention the T word in front of Biden. And according to the Woodward book, Trump continues to weigh heavily on Biden's mind. Dad, don't go there. I heard that. What's left of it, I know. Well, first of all, let me repeat again. If the man is suffering dementia and early stages of Alzheimer's, some of that nature, I feel for him. I don't want that to happen to anyone. But in the context of what we're trying to say here, yeah, 8 months later, they say that Trump was still heavy on Biden's mind because back in September, Biden had appeared aware that, I guess this was September after after or going into the election. I'm not sure. It doesn't give a date here. Yeah, actually it is. I take it back. It's just this month. Biden appeared aware that Trump had spoken about entering the boxing ring with the president as part of a promotional interview for a fight. And Biden told reporters, I mean, you know, I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? In other words, I could take anybody out. I'm fit and everything. Trump, look at that old fat man over there. Now, that's politics. Coming up in the next hour, we'll spend a lot of time on immigration issue, which the Biden team would like you also to quit using and referring to that thing down there. And Congresswoman Waters saying what is happening at the border is worse than slavery. She's right, but also wrong. I'll explain next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.